You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, Los Angeles, this is Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. We are inching towards our 6-year anniversary on this platform, and I'm really excited. We only have a couple more months, right? Let's see, it's June, July to August, September. Oh my gosh, 90 days or more or less. And I'm really enjoying the new music. Do you guys like the new music? I think it's fun. We need to change things up. I want to just start by saying a special shout out to, all the people that kept everything peaceful. I know it's a hard time. It's kind of hard to just avoid what's happening. We're not a political show, but, you know, it affects everything we do here in Los Angeles and Laguna Beach and everywhere around Southern California. Thank you for your support. Thank you for people reaching out. And thank you for people seeing that we are a very large and diverse area. And, we are all working towards calm and peace. So thank you very much for your continued support in the Southern California, Los Angeles area, and for being overall peaceful. Want to also give you guys a highlight from an event I did over the weekend with Taylor Armstrong from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Orange County. Shout out to Taylor. Happy birthday, Taylor. Lynn Curtin was the co-host. Jacqueline Larita from New Jersey was there. Oh, here's my mic. We need that. Also, I want to give a special thanks to some of the brands that were there. Skin Tech Studios, thank you so much for being there. I had a beautiful collagen treatment there. Scan the QR if you want to find out more from Skin Tech. Thank you so much from Designer X. This is an exclusive styling voucher that people got in those bags. So it was really nice. Aegis Formulas, the calm strip. Boy, do we need calm these days. Thank you so much. Michael Solberg Family Wines. Pinot Grigio for the summertime. Thank you so much. And of course, we had other brands that supported. Thank you so much for Flowers by the Sea in Laguna Beach for coming through with the beautiful arrangement last minute. And we had some other people that, you know, contributed. I think Bahar came by with some gifts. But shout out to all the brands. And here's a brand that was there in person. Poetry by Von Schell. And this is Yvonne. Yvonne, welcome to the Startup.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
I know. Welcome back. You got to be at the event yesterday. How'd you like it?
Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
Like Friday.
Yes. That was yesterday.
I know.
Yeah. But, you know, it was beautiful. We were by the ocean. The sun was warm. And just all around good company. And I got to write, you know, all those poems. Got to touch some hearts. Brought some tears. And, you know, I just did my thing.
Doing your thing with your fabulous glasses and typewriter by the ocean. Mm-hmm. So Poetry by Von Schell, she just got a rebranding. I'm really excited because she and I have been having some conversations about her branding. Mm-hmm. And we're going to announce something in August that she's doing that's really exciting. But right now, why don't we go full screen? Give a reentry to your brand. Tell people what you do, how you started. Take about 5 minutes to do that for us, Yvonne.
All right. So my name is Poetry Von Schell. You can also call me Yvonne. I am a typewriter poet. So basically what I do is I write poetry on the spot and I do it on a vintage typewriter. So it's actually right here next to me. This is just one of my typewriters that I have on hand. And yeah, I got started. I actually just started last year of July. I quickly set up a table. I went into my very first market pop-up and I literally did not know how, you know, I was going to be received because typewriter poetry is such a niche art form. So doing it for people, I eventually realized, wait a minute, I think this is my life purpose. I actually love writing poetry for people and just having the words for people who don't have the words. And I got into it because I lost my job at the end of 2023, and the job market was just so competitive and hard to, you know, find a new job. So at some point last year, like this time last year, I was like, you know what, I'm going to start a business, go out and meet people. And this is what it turned out to. I'm doing this full time. And I love to do this for like big events, small events, just for friends, family, small parties. And I just love the feeling of touching people's hearts with my words, with something as beautiful and an art that's all this time, like poetry. So yes, that is me.
Well, great. And you know what? I love that you went all in on yourself. And in this time, I think having some, you know, newfound love for older art forms is really exciting. And I think it's refreshing. And, you know, what comes to my mind is I could totally see you doing this at Knott's Berry Farm. You know, if anybody knows me personally, I love Knott's Berry Farm. It's my thing. Okay, get over it. But, you know, they have the little cartoon characters that they blow your face up and make it look. I just thought maybe that would be so cool to have you there. But I think that you are booked up for weddings. I mean, it is wedding season now, especially on the beach and all over. Tell us about how that's been going for you and what you're like, where are you headed with this talent? Where are you going?
Yeah, so I finally got my very first wedding. It was a couple of weeks after we first met, actually.
Yeah.
So someone else found me at the same event where we first met. And it was for this wonderful nonprofit. It's called Wish Upon a Wedding. So they hold weddings for couples who don't have much time left together because one of them is experiencing a life-altering condition or a terminal illness. So instead of like having to stress over like, you know, wedding details, these vendors come together and donate their time and services to hold a wedding for couples like them. So that was my very first wedding. I got to provide some wedding favors, and all of the guests love what I do. You know, they got to take home a piece of poetry that's like customized to them at the moment. And I feel like they're going to remember this that event, like for the rest of their time because of how a poem made them feel, how I made them feel.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love that. Wish Upon a Wedding. Shout out to you. I think that's really good work.
Wish Upon a Wedding.
Yeah. And, you know, you can frame it and you put a nice little stamp and you sign and date it. So from the event on Friday, what was the feedback that you got? I mean, you said you got some tears. Do you feel like you were spot on without naming names of who
that was? No, yeah. I mean, I also did kind of cry myself because of, you know, the energy, the emotional exchange that happened after I read the poem to them. And just, you know, they're telling me like all these, something as simple as one word, like gratitude or thankful. And then I ask them, what are you thankful for? And then they tell me. And then as my job as a poet, I got to expand, unfold. It's like, I'm taking that wonder and stretching it like taffy. I'm stretching the moment, the feeling, and I'm just weaving it into a beautiful poem for them. And then part of, I guess my favorite part about doing this is reading it back to them because it's like I'm turning that emotional exchange back to them. So usually, of course, there would be tears. There'd be that heartwarming moment of like, oh my God, that's exactly what I feel.
Yeah. That's how I felt when you did my poem.
Yes. Yeah. And hopefully my goal is to take this to bigger heights because I think this is a really interesting and refreshing art form, especially in this day and age where AI and digital media is so part of our normal life now. So this is something that really like cuts through all of that and says, hey, here's an actual human being with just natural, authentic, grounding energy, and who can create a poem like on the spot, just like that.
Yeah, I love it. I love, love, love it. And you know, I think you're right. You do cut to it, and get to the white meat, as they say, and you get right to it. So, all right. So, tell me your more challenging time. Like, what's a poem that was really challenging, where you're like, oh my gosh, you can read this back to them. I don't know what they're going to think. Or maybe you felt not sure. Have you ever felt like not sure about a poem?
Yes, definitely. Especially when I do my Message from the Universe. So my Message from the Universe poems is where I do a cold intuitive reading on the person. And I write, the message that the universe wants to tell the other person in poetry form. So obviously this takes certain like intuition and just the challenge and practice of not overthinking what comes to my head. So of course there will be times like, is this really it? Is this what the real feeling? I'm not sure. All right, let's go with it. You know? Yes. And yes. Also another challenging poem, I guess, was writing a poem for someone who recently lost their dog. Probably a month after I lost my own dog. That one wrecked me to write. Because, you know, I'm pouring out my own personal grief onto this poem to help comfort someone else who also lost their beloved dog. So I really went there emotionally. Like I was like taking breaks because I was just sobbing.
Yeah, I know what it's like. Dogs are everything. It took me 10 years to get one student phone. It took me 10 years to get another dog. Dogs, here's Apple. Shout out to Apple. The Frenchie girl. And then Winston Capone is over there. But
So one of the things I also do is once in a while, I will collaborate with my friend. She's a pet portrait artist. Her name is Sarah. Her business name is Paint My Buddy. So what we do is she draws the dog on top of the paper. I write the poem about them at the bottom. So you get this beautiful piece of art that I don't think anyone else is doing, like a poem portrait.
Paint My Buddy. We need to talk offline. We need to get her on because that... Mm-hmm. We need to put her into the mainstream of what we're doing because that is really, really smart.
And yes. I think she's smart. Yeah. So normally her business is she draws pet portraits and she puts them in cute little bottles like this. Aww. And it's just like a little token that you can take with you or put on a display. So she did one for my dog. So actually we met because it felt like our dogs from the Rainbow Bridge brought us together. We needed it.
Paint My Puppy.
Pay My Buddy.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about where people can find you because you're getting booked up, lady. Mm-hmm. You're fully booked and busy. So what do you have coming up? Where can people find you? You did a market yesterday, you said, right?
Yes, and I got another one coming up this weekend. Three markets this Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
Yep.
How did the market go yesterday?
Oh, it was pretty good. It was like one of those like witchy magic markets. Yes. And I just love meeting other vendors, making friends everywhere I go. I got to trade a poem for a cute little scented candle. So
nice.
with other vendors.
A little barter system never hurts. Yes.
And of course, just writing poems for people and words of wisdom that those who need to hear it.
Great. You know?
And I think I'm just naturally wise. So, and I love weaving that into poetry form.
You know, next year, Vanchelle, you need to do graduation ceremonies.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Keep your tents going into your next part of your career.
Uh-huh.
Graduation, you know, grads and dad season, which I think that would be great because you're in wedding season, as we know.
Yes.
So let's find out how people can book with you. How are you accepting clients? Are you doing a like an online submission? I know that you're going to get really busy when we get into later this year. So what do you got going? How can people find you?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram. My handle is poetryvonchelle, like my name right there. And I also have a website, poetryvonchelle.com. And I also have TikTok, poetryvonchelle on TikTok. Pretty much that. And yeah, if you'd like me to create a custom poem for you, check out my poetry menu. It's posted up in my Instagram profile. And yes, I also do weddings, small private parties. And I think this is just a wonderful experience that people that you can gift to your guests so that they will remember that moment forever. And I think it also provides a great talking point among guests. Like, oh, what poem did you get? Like, oh yeah, this is what you wrote for me. And that encourages others like, oh, I want to get one too. So... Yeah.
And recently she did some poems for some Real Housewives.
I did. That was such a wonderful experience. Like, you know, just to like connect with them on a human level, just to like hear their story, like what are they personally going through at the moment, and just being level with them on that humanity, you know, in that level of humanity. Like, yes, this is you. This is who you are today. And this is the poem I'm writing for you at this moment.
I love it. Well, Poetry by Vanchelle. This is Yvonne. She's amazing. Show us that typewriter one more time. Let's see it. Look at that, guys. Look at those glasses. I love the glasses. It's such a good touch.
It's part of the whole vibe.
It is. Come back. We'll have you back. We're going to have you back, I think, late August or early September, and we'll have an announcement that Miss Yvonne will be doing something really cool with us later this year.
Yes.
Stay awesome, Yvonne. We'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you so much, Monique. I hope to see you again soon.
Good to see you. All right. All right. Poetry with Yvonne, and it's poetry by Yvonne Schell. You guys get that unique touch, that talent. She's the one. Get it. Get into it. All right. Next, we have Chris. He's going to be joining us, Chris Hunsicker, and I want to say your name properly, Chris. Please tell me, how are you?
I'm great, and you nailed it. It's Hunsicker, just like being sick. Outstanding.
Oh, thank you. Finally, we made this happen. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. I'm excited about it.
Yes. Okay, great. So we're going to go full screen, and Chris, you're going to give everybody an intro of who you are, what you got going on. So take this opportunity to just go for it.
You bet. Well, thank you very much. So I am an executive coach who works, I would say, primarily in the automotive retail space. So when people say, oh, you work with car dealerships, like, isn't that really hard? And my answer is yes and no. I teach executive coaching at different places around the United States. I also do a class in Paris every year, which is my wife's favorite. Like, whenever I have a job in Cleveland, she never comes. But every year when I go to Paris, magically, she always wants to come with me. And again, it's like an MBA in executive coaching. And I'm the last guest lecturer before they graduate. So we spend the morning doing a case study on a global coaching program that I ran for Ford Motor Company. And in the afternoon, we talk about, okay, now that you've gotten all the theory, what is it really like to be an executive coach? And how do you kind of do that in the real world? And I've spent about 30 years doing this. I was a coach before people became coaches. I've been doing it. And then all of a sudden they invented coaching and people are like, hey, isn't that what you do? I'm like, yeah, I guess the rest of the world caught up with it. And it's probably one of my favorite things. I began as a marriage and family therapist working with adolescent drug addicts, which is great training for working with CEOs because it's kind of the same clientele. Just don't tell the CEOs. And after 5 years of doing that, my hospital was bought. They closed my program, and I literally had a client say, is there any way you could do for my business what you did for my family? Because my business is like more screwed up than my family. I'm like, I don't know. I'm a therapist. I don't really do that. And like, we'll pay you. I'm like, I'm in. And that was the day that I realized I was way better at helping good people become better than sick people become healthy. And it started a lifelong journey of looking at how can I apply the principles of human dynamics, therapy, communication, connection to the business environment. And a lot of times people will ask me, so Chris, like, what do you do? Like, what does an executive coach do? And I would say, well, have you ever worked for someone that was a real idiot? You had a good team, a good company, but you just worked for an idiot? And they're like, yeah. I said, I help managers not be assholes. That's basically what I do. And they always laugh when I say that, but that's so much time, money, energy, and energy is wasted. Like trying to train people how to be nice when they don't need smile practice. They need to work for someone that's not an idiot, that lets them feel seen, heard, and understood, and challenges them to be better. And that's kind of where I come in, is how do I kind of do this philosophy. And the book that I wrote, Unstoppable Culture, chapter one, paragraph one, begins with this idea that in order for things to get better, you need to get better. But so many people are like waiting. If I only had a better team, then I could be a better manager. If I had a better company, then I could be, you know, a better leader. If I had a better spouse, then I could be a better, marriage partner. And if my kids just weren't so stupid, then I could really be a good dad. And on Father's Day, like, this is a particularly good topic to bring up, because it's not that you need a better team and you don't need a better spouse and you don't need, what you need to do is to become better. And that's kind of the foundation of all of my work, is how do I help people become a better version of themselves so that their life gets better instead of waiting everybody else around them to change.
Wow. And by the way, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to everyone that applies to. I'm blown away because you really are hitting it. You're hitting the nail on the head, because it really does come from the top, and the tone and the tenor and what you're expecting to receive from your team is really what you're providing them with. What you put up with, what you don't put up with, what you're asking for, what the expectations are, what the boundaries are, and the energy. I mean, it is energy, right? So yes. I like that you're doing the automotive space, but you started with troubled youth and addiction, and then moved over to all these other facets in the executive coaching sector. So well done in creating that genre. I helped create the reality TV genre, so I know what it's like to be one of the first to do something. But
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take credit for what's happening now, but you know, I'm vintage, right? Yeah, what can we do? But I really think this is an important piece. Speak to me about your book. Give us the title again. And if you have a visual, we'd love for you to hold it up. If you don't, we could definitely tag it on socials when you send me my copy.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I plan on doing that. And you'll get a signed copy, not just a copy.
Yay.
And I'm on the road in San Francisco working with clients this week. So I apologize. I don't have a visual to pull up. I should have thought of that in advance.
That's okay. That's okay.
The book is called Unstoppable Culture. And the little subtitle is an exact system to build a relentless, results-focused, high-performance team. And that's kind of what everybody's looking for. But here's kind of the challenge that I find. And you've met many people who are readers, right? They're just almost semi-addicted to self-help or to business books, and they read one every week. And the challenge that I found is a lot of people who go to a workshop, read a book, receive training, what they really do is they become educated blamers and not someone who's actually growing.
Whoa. Let's take a moment and take that in, everybody. Educated blamers.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Let's really take that in. Give us an example of someone in the public world that we could identify with that would be an educated blamer or someone in your experience.
Yeah, well, let me start with something even closer to home. How about me? So I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I'm married to my wife. It will be 40 years in November. We have
congratulations.
Yeah, it's great. And whenever I would get upset with my wife for, quote, triggering me or making me upset or not being the way I wanted her to be, I had this extensive vocabulary. I had books. I had articles to prove why she was an idiot and I was right and she should be different and I shouldn't, which is, do you understand? Like, all I'm doing is using my training, my education, my knowledge to blame more effectively, but not to change myself, not to develop compassion, flexibility, forgiveness, love, appreciation. No, and that's my challenge, is that so many people who are seeking knowledge aren't seeking it with the intent to change themselves. They're seeking it with the intent to change or blame somebody else.
Wow. A little shape-shifting there. That's good. That's really, really good that you're saying it that way. Right. Like, here I am with all my knowledge and you better get on board with my, no, I have to be living. You got to be the change you want to see in the fill in the blank.
Yes. I'll give you, this was a turning point for me when I started this. So Sherry and I are married. I'm just finishing graduate school. We have three kids that are all under five. Life is chaotic, intense. And we got in a huge fight. And I don't even remember anymore the fight. I do think I was right, but I don't remember the fight. And Sherry goes,
that's
down.
That's the only thing you remember in the fight, Chris. Okay,
yes,
I got your notes.
I'm a guy, and that's what men do. And I go upstairs to my bedroom. Sherry goes downstairs to the basement. And in my bedroom, I have a bookshelf. And one bookshelf is all of the books for my graduate school, right? On therapy and family therapy and all those. And I look at the book and I think, the bookshelf, I think, if my wife were less crazy, I could be a good husband. And then the next book was all my books on spirituality and philosophy and religion from my time when I spent as a missionary. And so, and then I thought, yeah, I could be a really spiritual person if my wife wasn't so hard. And then I had one of those moments where I'm like, maybe I should pray about this, maybe meditate a little bit. Yeah. And I'm not a big talk to God kind of person. Like, he doesn't like speak to me up, but every now and then the universe can whisper something to you if you're listening. And I was complaining about how hard my wife is. And the thought entered my head, if you're hurting this bad, can you imagine how much she must be hurting? And I'm like, nope, pretty much consumed with my own pain. And then the thought, but right, doesn't that happen to us?
We get so that, well, and it reminds me of the saying, whatever the person does to you is it speaks to their journey and how you respond is yours.
100%.
I might have butchered the saying, but you
know,
I
think it's spot on.
Yeah. And if you're responding less than your vibration and how you are usually conducting yourself, you feel that little ting, like, ah, I could have handled that different. I could have handled that.
Yes.
Yeah. This is really great. And you know what? This is really healthy too, because it isn't just business. It's not just automotive. It can be applied to everything, people. And when, you know, I had this conversation a lot over the last 6 years, and it really is about even just saying, you know, I am worthy of asking for my rate. I've earned this. I've done the work, and here's what we've done to get there. And so I think getting that dialogue, that furry ball, hairball out of your head, and, you know, and getting out of your way, this kind of psychology really will help you in business. You know, when you understand, you know, exactly what you're bringing to the table. So the psychology element and the self-help and the higher vibrations affect you when you're asking people to pay you, right? I mean, yeah. It comes from the same place.
Yeah. And when you want to lead people. So again, if you're going to move out of command and control into persuasion and influence, it's a different skill set. Like, think about sales managers, general managers that I work with. Their whole life, they learned how to sell, overcome objections, and, you know, really connect with people. And then they become managers and immediately switch to power and control. I was with a guy a couple of weeks ago, and I said, listen, if you sold cars the way that you manage people, you'd starve.
Oh,
I said, as soon as you
get, like, that's why you're here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you get the slightest bit frustrated at someone and you go off on them, but you wouldn't ever do that in selling. And that's kind of that gap, like going back to that time with my wife, the next second thought that came to my head was, you have an infinite capacity to learn how to be more patient. She doesn't ever need to change. Only you do.
Wow. And she'll respond to that if it's supposed to line up.
Yes.
Great. And you know, you're in a leadership position in your marriage too, I would gather. So that's important. And that translates. Okay, this is really good stuff, folks. So let's go full screen, Chris. And I want you to speak to the entrepreneur that's out there that is a great salesperson and does not know how to persuade and manage and lead and get the things they want, and they're ruling by the iron fist. Can you speak to them and give us a little intro of, like, don't give us your secret sauce, but give us intro on how you'd help guide them.
You bet. Let me give you one tool that I think is as helpful as anything that I could share with you. If you are a great entrepreneur and you can sell, you can close, and you're starting to build a team, and you need to accept this, you will almost never hire someone as passionate, talented, and gifted as you are. Almost everyone that works for you will be much less of those than you are. That's the nature of entrepreneur versus employee. But every 10 years, you get to manage someone with your same level of passion. And then they'll last a year and they'll get promoted and move on. So when you're dealing with people that have less passion, energy, commitment, desire, discipline than you do, use this: balance warmth and standards. So most people, when they get under pressure, they have a dominant way of leading. Some people lead by standards. Some people lead by warmth and connection. In the same way that if you're playing basketball, you could be right-hand dominant or left-hand dominant. But if you want to play at an elite level, you got to be able to use both. And so some people, when they get really struggling, they get really intense, they immediately go to standards. They withdraw connection. They withdraw support. And it's going to pound you. I'm going to give you feedback. I'm going to nail you. I'm going to raise the standards. I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to demand more of you. And then they also tend to carry that into their home life, and it creates just as many problems there. Whereas other people, they, under pressure, when things get hard, they abandon all the standards. They lower all the standards. It's like, let's make sure everybody's okay. Let's all get together and complain. And now we're going to go bankrupt, not do anything, but we're going to feel good about it while we're having a beer. And what I would share is, and this is the most important distinction, that when the necessity of your business requires you to raise your standard, you must at the same time raise your warmth and connection. It's when those two get out of balance that you lose people, you lose connection, and most importantly, you lose the people to influence them. Your job as a manager, right, as a leader, is to constantly invite people into a series of behaviors that lie just outside of their comfort zone, but are in their self-serving interest and the interest of the company. And that's what you're doing as a leader and manager. I'm constantly persuading and influencing you to live just outside your comfort zone, but in a set of behaviors that will bless your life and that of the business. And you can only maintain that when your warmth and standards stay equal.
Wow. You guys, this is a first exclusive. Chris is spilling the tea on a Sunday, guys. He's spilling all the tea. Well done, well said. And I'm thinking back on current situations where I'm like, yeah, okay. And it was automatic to give some warmth there. Because I always am reflect, okay, how would I want to be treated in this situation? How would I want to be treated in this situation? And then that's the level, the lever that pulls me in. And then also taking a beat and not always answering that email that might frustrate the hell out of you, right? While you're like, right? So you go take a walk and then have a glass of wine. Yes. Shout out to Michael Solberg. No. Yes. And, you know, or do whatever. But I really love the principles you just laid out. Guys, okay, Chris, where can we get your book, darling? Where can we get it?
So it's on Amazon. That's probably the easiest place to get it, Unstoppable Culture. And last year it became a bestseller in 4 countries. So I was kind of excited. I never did that. Yeah. So
congratulations. Time. Yay. Yeah. We need some sound effects, Sam. Okay. What 4 countries, Chris?
So I made it to number 1 in Canada, number 4 in England. I hit number 1 in the US for about 6 weeks, but I mean, that's not a long time, but it was enough to do that. And Australia, yeah. I made it to number 1 in Australia.
All beautiful places. Yeah. I'm so excited for you. I'm going to talk with your people offline. I think we should get your book in the Emmys event in September, if that's something that you might be interested in.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people in my industry could sure use some of these principles. Well, enjoy your time in San Francisco. Get some good seafood if that's what you're into. Enjoy the pier, and we'll have you back. I can't wait. I know you're going to reach more countries. I just know you're going to keep going. Thank you guys, Chris Hunnisicker, and this Unstoppable Culture. Get that book, and it sounds like it's good for all things in your life.
Yes, I think you, no matter what you do, you would find it a useful, helpful way. And if they're interested, everybody has a niche they fill. And I started about 90 days ago to help some people out that I can't reach, a little 5-minute daily podcast. So I don't interview people like this is a real podcast. This would be like an information when I do a 5-minute little thing every day, Monday through Friday, on one little tip, tool, thought, idea to kind of stay grounded and stay on track. And I call it the dealership war room. And if anyone wants to go to Chris Hunsaker, like at Chris Hunsaker 31 is where it's housed on YouTube. And it's free. I know it's just my way of giving back. But if you're interested in that kind of stuff, it's super helpful.
We want all the tea here, Chris. We're the startup. We need to gather as many tools for our toolbox here for our startup community. Thank you, Chris, for your time and your shine on Sunday. Stay awesome, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, too. You have a great day. I appreciate the time.
You too. Okay, thank you, Chris. All right, you guys. Chris Hunsaker, and I love, love, love those tips. You guys, run this back and listen to it. I think it can really help you. Don't send that email. Don't react right away. Take those tools, balance, warmth, and standards. Great, great, great. Next up, we have someone that has some amazing balance physically because he rock climbs all the time. G. Scott Jacks.
Hey, how's it going?
Startup.
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing great, especially today. It's been a great day.
It's been a great day. Can you turn up your volume a little bit so we can hear you better?
Oh, no. Yes.
We want to hear that beautiful voice.
How's this?
Okay, great. Okay, G. Scott Jacks, you guys. I went to Mexico with G. Scott Jacks. He's a friend I met in Las Vegas at a Japanese restaurant. He's been a friend, a client, and, you know, really someone I've come to regard and respect. And he freestyle rock climbs, and has serendipitous interactions in the world. I think he's been on the show before. He's smoking weed on our show, and we love it. It's happy Sunday. 420, it's 433. Anyway, so G. Scott is actually an amazing alchemist in turning something, nothing into something, and things that might not be great into something great. I'll give you the full screen. Tell people about your alchemy in rock climbing in the serendipitous life. Let's go full screen.
Okay. I gotta say, like, I wish I could tell people how to do it. It has everything to do with being open to talking to people and not being afraid of saying, yes, let's do that. You mentioned we met in Las Vegas in a Japanese tapas bar, which the reason I ended up there sitting next to you is because I accidentally showed up a day early for my Airbnb that I was splitting with a bunch of people from Seattle. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm just going to have to go for a walk. And that's how I ended up at that tapas bar, sitting next to you. And, you know, we're both very talkative people and we hit it off amazingly. And that's basically what it takes to be the serendipity that I've had in my life is just being willing to talk to literally anybody. Not literally. I mean, you know, you see the guy with the machete saying, I'll kill the next motherfucker in here. You want to take
that? You know,
be somewhat discerning. Recognize when there's danger. There's also recognizing when there's good. Because, man, some of the things that I've come across in life, it's just... it's amazing. And I do recognize that it a lot of people are uncomfortable with that, given racism and sexism and it makes it hard. I get it. The things I've gotten away with in life. Mostly because of my complexion. But I've met people who, in my travels, who are destroying that mentality. They go against
free spirited principles.
Yes, misconceptions about how people are going to treat you when you travel. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really a good share. And I think that you hit on something, restoring a little balance to just having that magic and being open to yes, you know, when it's safe and it makes sense and it feels right for you. And you coming from a place of yes or hell yes or let's go has always been your tune.
It also has to do with the rock climbing, to be completely honest, because what you're doing is you're just, it's committing to a move. Like when you're rock climbing, sometimes you'll come across something that's very challenging. And you might think, oh, I don't know what that next hold is going to be. I don't know if it's going to hold me. It's a matter of committing to the move. That's actually something you got to tell yourself in climbing. So I do the same thing in life. Whereas I commit to the move. I commit, even in comedy, I commit to the bit. Like, I commit to the story, I commit to this stuff. And it's just gotten me so far. I've been to like Burning Man twice without having to pay. I've hitchhiked out of Burning Man once out on an airplane. Like, yeah.
Wow. So this is a little hippie vibe for some people. This is a different kind of startup. I really want to lean into your rock climbing and you making that a business and, you know, taking and sustainable.
My use climbing ropes.
Yeah. And like, you know, really thinking this as a brand and freeing people and, you know, showing people that it's not so scary. And you just were in a rock climbing competition. So tell us, walk us through how you started doing that.
So I had already been to multiple countries. It was my first climbing rope that I ever bought. So, and I had taken that thing all over the country. I know this actually sounds like a lot. It's actually amazing this rope lasted this long. I don't fall. It sounds really braggadocious, but it's like I don't fall. It's a fear.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. That's what has made me so good at climbing. I am so afraid to fall that I come up with this burst of energy that allows me to stay where I'm at. Anyway, beside the point, this rope that I had, the first rope I had, it came to the time I had to retire it. It had aged out. It had taken so many specific types of falls. Mm-hmm. It was just, and it was visibly fraying on the outside. But I didn't want to throw this thing away. I had taken this thing to, I had climbed on this rope in Cuba and in Thailand.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I didn't want to throw this rope away. So I weaved it into a rug, and that just kind of like solidified my abilities to recognize. I mean, I already was a cabinet maker, welder,
fabric. You got a lot of skills, everybody.
I do. I make furniture. I make all kinds of things. In fact, I'm trying to make, I have plans to make basically a sort of outdoor chair out of some steel I'm going to weld together, and I'm going to weave use some of the retired rope that I have and weave the seat and back to it.
That's going to be cool. That's going to be, I think that might be your money piece right there.
Yeah. These are things that I have so many ideas constantly. It makes it really hard to get things done, to be completely honest.
Creative minds think alike.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is great. So it's really great to see that you didn't want to part with something. And that's really an important point for a lot of creatives out there, for entrepreneurs. Like, if you did something for so long that was great, find a repurpose for it. Even if it means, you know, your experience and you're putting it in a book or a blog, that knowledge, that wisdom, that wear and tear, so to speak, pun intended, on the rope, could really help someone avoid wear and tear for them, or help them deal with their wear and tear, right?
So, you know, one of the things that has really, like, one of the things that I've been told multiple times is how often people will get lost, like, following the pattern of the rug. Like, just, like, I don't suggest putting, I mean, they're easy to clean, but I don't suggest putting them in front of the toilet. It's just not, like, yeah, anyway.
Like, you can use them, rug, right?
In fact, the cats that, oh, she's gone. The cats, and dogs, they just love laying on them. And I make the dog leashes, so I'm open to, like, doing commission pieces. Like, if you're a climber and you have a rope you want to not throw away, but you need to retire, it has a lot of memories in it, I can, like, take a slice of it off and turn it into a dog leash, and then make the rug that will kind of become the dog's, like, rug. It's great. It's like,
it is great. Let's see a sample. Show us one of your rugs. He's got them all over the house, everybody. And
they are all over the house.
Which reminds me, I definitely have to order my dog leash. I don't know why I haven't gotten one yet for Wednesday. Come
on. Be right back.
Okay, he's going to grab that, guys. And while we're waiting for G. Scott to give us this amazing rug, thank you so much for our supporters and sponsors, Sorgo Squad, Michael Solberg Family Wines, Aegis, and everybody that tunes in is a supporter as well. So thank you so much for keeping us on the air.
I apologize. I just did a booth. I haven't unpacked yet. I apologize.
It's okay. You're in demand. Scott Jack is the man in demand. Yeah. So G. Scott and I have
to sell a couple pieces, and I apologize for not having them all.
That's okay. Where can people reach you? I know we're revamping some things. Where can people reach you if they want to order a rug or dog leash?
Summits Past is my name. It's on, I have website, summitspast.com. Someone's passed at Instagram and Facebook. So, yeah. Oh, I'm starting my own YouTube channel. Almost forgot. It's new.
That's right. We just launched the YouTube. Tell us about it.
So I wanted to showcase, of course, my work, the process of doing that work. And also, so one of the things that I get a lot in my climbing is I get a lot of compliments about my style, how I look on the rock, how easy I make it look. The number one comment I get is I look like I'm dancing up the wall. So I'm starting to record my climbing, especially if there's like a route that I just absolutely love and I'm just like throwing myself up it. I will record those and start putting those on there. I'm still working on how I'm going to present myself, but I will also be telling my stories. I think, you said that you were going to potentially interview me for some storytelling time or something along those lines. So,
yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm working with G. Scott, full transparency here, to get his YouTube channel. He just launched it, but we're growing it. And it's really a great thing for mental health. Happy Mental Health Month. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Yes. And it's a really great place to focus and meditate. And I actually had the pleasure of seeing him freestyle on a rock in Cabo. We had to take a boat, a train, a ferry, to some pigeons. I mean, we had
hitchhiking.
Planes and trains, hitchhiking and automobiles. Yes. But I saw him freestyle with no shoes on, no climbing gloves, no rope, no net, just climbing a mountain in Cabo. And I was looking at...
There was sand. It was okay.
I mean, I remember telling you, don't go too high because it'll take another boat and a ferry to get a paramedic over here. And I don't know how much help I mean, I know CPR, but I don't know how much help I
would need. That's all I need.
Okay. Was a willful participant to help there. But you didn't need it. Here he is in one piece. So you just did a competition. Give us the update on that. What's going on with that?
There's still it's a 4-day competition, but it takes place over the whole summer. So I just did the first day, which was ropes and auto belay and lead climbing. Those of you who are into climbing will know what that means. Next Friday is the next day of the comp, and it's bouldering. And it'll be, it's actually going to be in the gym, in the bouldering gym that I built.
That's going to be cool. So you'll have upper hand, pun intended again.
Yeah.
Because you built it.
We'll hope. And then there's another one a couple weeks later in July, and then another one a couple weeks later in August. We'll see how that goes. I'm feeling pretty confident. I did a lot of the really hard stuff on my first attempt. That's actually how I started getting people interested in climbing with me or just watching me climb. And it's really motivated me more to get this YouTube channel going. And of course you mentioned the mental health stuff. So I've been climbing for 19 years, almost very close to 20 years. Wow. And I stopped there for a little bit because I kind of,
You had a moment.
Yeah, I got really depressed. So
we all have moments.
Getting back into rock climbing has been kind of the measure of where I'm at with my mental health. And I'll say therapy, psychiatry, if you're feeling like nothing's working.
Yeah.
And just I have so much to say on that. I don't feel like I have enough time.
Well, we can definitely revisit it, but you're a walking, breathing ray of sunshine because you've applied those things and you took something on your own behalf and you implemented elements outside and all the other elements you just mentioned and more. And we're really grateful to have you on and be an inspiration to really go for it. And sometimes a little medicinal marijuana does not hurt.
Absolutely not.
It comes from the ground.
It's way better than what I used to do. And maybe someday I'll get into that on my YouTube channel.
That would be awesome. I think you need to give the people what they need.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a sneak peek. I started my first 2 years out of high school, first experiences as an adult outside of your parents' house. Were homeless. I was wandering around Independence, Kansas City, Blue Springs, just following all the railroad tracks and really got around, which, by the way, and that was back in the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
you did the serendipitous life out of need sometimes, it sounded like in the beginning.
That is exactly.
We're going to get into it on the channel. Yeah. You guys, this is G. Scott Jack, Summit's Pass. Get into it. He's a very inspirational, positive, amazing person. He's got all the stories, all the tea. He can show you how
to. The crap that I've been through that I would hope that I could help people through if they're going through it as well. I'm not saying I'm going to help. what I say is it will be helpful, but it might.
And that's what we want. And you can start your business and turn whatever situation you have into something positive, just like G. Scott Jacks has. And all of our entrepreneurs. So thank you for being on the show. What will you start today? You guys, happy Father's Day, happy Mental Health Day, and everybody's Mental Health Day. Please be safe. Please be smart. Please be together. And do not give up on that dream. Do not give up on that idea. I don't care how bleak it looks. What will you start up today? We can't wait to hear. See you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.